السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, this is the same verse of the Quran Sharif which we have been discussing over the past 2 weeks. And as I mentioned, that we will have to go on discussing these verses of the Quran Sharif until our dying day. Whenever the month of Ramadan comes, we are reminded of these verses of the Quran and the hadiths of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealing with fasting. So in this verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, I have prescribed fasting upon you as I prescribed it upon those before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That is where I think we stopped last week. That what is the whole purpose of this fasting? After 15 days or 14 days or whatever number of days have gone of fasting, what have we really achieved? What have we attained in our lives? Has it brought about some change in our lives? Or is it just that we stayed away from some food and drink and carnal desires and passions? If that is all that we stayed away from, just food, drink and carnal desires from dawn to sunset, then, according to that hadith of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam declares, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قَيَامِهِ رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صُيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوءُ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قَيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. There are many fasting people, so many of them there are, that this fasting of theirs, staying away from food and drink, brings them nothing except hunger. That is about all that they attain. After a day-long fast, the only thing that they have achieved at the end of the day is some hunger, and they stay awake at night, and their staying awake and remaining awake at night has gained them nothing but loss of sleep. These are the two gains of many people who are fasting and staying awake at night. So what does that mean? Does it mean that now we must not fast and we must not stay awake at night? No, what it means is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is warning us that do not be like those people who are experiencing hunger also, they're experiencing thirst also, they're staying away, losing out on sleep, and after doing all that, at the end of the day they have achieved nothing. It is just like a person that runs his business, and especially in these busy days where people don't even have time for salat, even in the month of Ramadan. So the person is working whole day, he makes $1 million at the end of the day, and then when he comes out of the shop, the entire $1 million is hijacked. So what has that person achieved? After the whole day's effort, at the end of the day, when he goes home, he has got nothing to show, because everything has been hijacked. So most of us are in this category, that we fast, meaning we stay away from food, from drink, and from carnal passions and desires during the day. But at the end of the day, we have nothing to really show. Our hearts have not become filled with any kind of nur. There is nothing in our heart. If we take qasam and say in the masjid now, if you have to ask me, I feel my heart completely empty. If each one has to check in his heart that after the whole day's fasting, so many days, how much have we really retained in the heart the nur of that fast? So we are just like those people who earned. The whole day they worked very hard. They sacrificed everything. In fact, they even sacrificed the midnight oil. They burned the midnight oil because they were buying, making purchases, stocking up, checking out, doing this, doing that. And then at the end of the day, that million was just hijacked. So we are just like that. After all that effort that we put in, then some of the noor is hijacked through our eyes. Some of that noor is hijacked through our mouths. Some of that noor is hijacked through our ears. Some of that noor is hijacked through our hands and feet, and some of that noor is hijacked through our hearts and minds. That is where we lose out everything. That example again comes to mind. Like at present, now the windows are closed, so we are finding the benefit of this air conditioner which is on. But if you have to open up all these windows and the hot breeze blows in, then what will that air conditioner do? We will not feel the coolness of that air conditioner. So we will not blame the air conditioner for that. We will blame ourselves for having opened up all the windows and allowed the hot wind to come in. In the same way, this noor of fasting would have cooled our hearts by now. There's so much of noor in fasting that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala declares fast as something which He says is for me. And therefore I will give the rewards of fasting. All the other rewards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hands it to the angels, that you give it to these people, whatever ibadat they have done. So much on zakat and so much on namaz and so much on this and so much on that. But depending on the person's sincerity, it could be from 10 times to 700 times or even more. But when it comes to fasting, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that fasting is for me. Wa ana ajzi bihi aw ana udza bihi. There's a car blocking somebody's driveway or whatever it is. 445706 red BMW. Please remove your car. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that this fasting is for me and I am its reward, or I will give its reward, whichever way you read it. One is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is owning the entire universe and everything, that this world and the hereafter, everything belongs to Allah ta'ala. Now when Allah ta'ala says that I will give its reward, one is a person has got 100 rand or 500 rand or 1,000 rand, and he tells somebody that I will give you a big reward. If you do this or do that, I will give you a big reward. Now, how much reward can that person give if he's only got 100 rands with him? He can't give anything more than 100 rands. But if King Fahad has to say that I will give the reward, so now our minds will go on to all the oil wells that he owns, that he's going to give a very big reward. So who is King Fahad and who is the King of Jordan and who is the King of Kuwait? Nothing in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the one who put that petrol and oil beneath the ground. So even if they have to promise some reward, it's going to be limited. And here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if He says that I am going to give its reward, then we must now begin developing this yaqeen that there is something that Allah Ta'ala wants to give to us. Why are we running away from it? Why are we shying away from it? Don't we want these rewards from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? And when He is announcing, He is promising that I will give its rewards. So the person who is an ashik of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then he should not be passing away his time or wasting his time in idle chit-chat and idle pastimes and gossiping and useless things. The person should be looking forward to these rewards that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has promised. And because there is another reading, that wa ana udza bihi, that one is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that I will give the reward, and the other one is where Allah says I am its reward. Allah says I am the reward of that person who is fasting. I will become yours. Just ask those people who are in ishq and love with the material things of this world, or they are in love with some woman who is haram to even have a relationship with. But if only that woman says that I love you, then this person, he knows, his happiness knows no bounds. And yet that woman, one day she's going to die and turn to dust, and there's nothing but filth in her body even at present. But here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He says that if you are going to fast in the manner that I want you to fast, if you're going to observe the rules of fast, you're going to stay away from all those things that are displeasing to me whilst you are fasting. You are going to stay away from cheating, from fraud, from gambling, from fornication, from adultery, from backbiting, and from all the other haram. Then I myself will become the reward of this fast. I will become yours. And if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes ours, then what shortage will that person have? Even if he does not have outwardly material wealth in his hands, even if he is wearing patched clothes and living in a hut, but if Allah ta'ala becomes his, that means Allah comes into his heart, then this person is richer than the richest king of this world. Believe me, this person is richer than the richest king of this world, because he has now got Allah with him. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the creator of beauty, Allah is the creator of wealth, Allah ta'ala is the creator of health, Allah ta'ala is the creator of everything. Now if this person has got Allah with him, then he has got such peace and such happiness that Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi, what he used to address the Mughal rulers of and kings of those days, that Waliullah has got some diamonds. You, O kings, when you are going to die, you're going to leave behind your throne, you're going to leave behind your crown, you're going to leave behind your diamonds, and you're going to leave behind everything. But Waliullah has got some diamonds, which he has got at present with him, and when he's going to go also, he's going to take with him, and they are so precious, and they are valueless. There's so much of Nobody can put a value on it. And what is that? He says, the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is what Allah ta'ala wants to give us by means of this fasting. He says, I want to become yours. And you have heard many times that little couplet. Agar ek to nahi mera to koi she nahi meri. Agar ek to nahi mera to koi she nahi meri. Jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. Oh Allah, if you are not mine, then nothing is mine. What is mine if Allah is not mine? Are we taking anything from this world? All these people who are leaving the world suddenly with everything, huge bank balances, big properties, multinational companies, everything. But sudden accident, heart failure, and the person is gone. Tell me, brothers, what did he take with from this world? What did he take with? That kafan also is just to cover his satar up. Allah Ta'ala does not want that the murda, the deceased person, should leave this world and he should be buried in a naked state. So Allah Ta'ala says, cover him with some cloth and take him away nicely with dignity. But otherwise, even that is going to be over in the grave within a few days.
Kai baar humne ye dekha ke jinka mushayyan badan tha muattar kafan tha. Kai baar humne ye dekha ke jinka mushayyan badan tha muattar kafan tha. Jo qabr e kohan uski ukhdi to dekha na uzve badan tha na tare kafan tha.
This you have heard many times, but what is the purpose of listening? It is to revive, to light up that heart of ours, to get that yaqeen and that iman. That how many times we saw young, fit, healthy people, no weakness, no sickness, no disease. They were jogging, they were running, they were skipping, and they were boxing, and they were wrestling. And when they died, they were given beautiful kafan, and ithar was poured over their bodies. But in the grave when they were placed, after some time when that grave was opened, neither was there any part of the body and nor any sign of that kafan. So the person doesn't take anything. What he takes with is the good deeds that he has done or the bad deeds that he has done. So that same wealth, if he used it correctly, then he will take it with him. Wealth is not haram, it is not forbidden, it is not cursed. But that wealth which diverts the person's from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. It doesn't allow him to make his Zohar, Asr and Maghrib namaz when it is busy time in the shops and businesses. The person now has the yaqeen and belief that these customers, they are my razzaq. They are my providers. They are my sustainers. If only I have to go for my namaz, then these customers will go away. And if they go away, my rozi will go away. They say, Maulana, my rozi will go away. So then that is the cursed dunya that we find in the hadiths and in the Quran Sharif. So Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that these people, by fasting the whole day, if they don't stay away from haram, if they don't stay away from sins, if they don't stay away from casting lustful and evil glances, if they don't stay away from fraud and from cheating and from backbiting and speaking lies, then the whole day's fast has gained them nothing except hunger and thirst. And they stay awake at night, they make zikr, they make tilawat, they make ibadat, they do so much of deen work. But after that, in the morning, they are bragging about it, or pride has entered their heart that I am superior to everybody in this world now. I am now connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Jannat is guaranteed for me. There is no question of my slipping or erring or faulting or making mistakes in future. So now this person has claimed to be divine or nubuwat. No mistakes anymore. So what did he gain with all that? Nothing. Nothing. Everything has vanished. Everything has been hijacked. We understand this term hijacked very, very well at present. Because there's hardly a family, hardly a person that is surviving now in South Africa whose family somewhere along the line or himself have not been affected by murders, by killings, by hijackings and all these kind of things. So we understand it so well when it comes to our worldly things. Why should we not understand it better than that when it comes to our spiritual life? That nobody likes to be hijacked. Nobody likes that his property, his car or something should go. In the same way, why should we not retain this noor of fast? We are fasting. We are staying away from food and drink. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's one hadith comes to mind. If only we can understand that hadith.
And you have heard that Hadith Sharif many times, but we always relate it to some sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that is easy to practice on. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Man ahya sunnati inda fasad ummati falahu ajru miyati shaheedaw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Now let us look at it at a different angle altogether. All along we have understood that to mean that some sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on which people are not practicing in the time of fitna, I'm giving you the meaning. Then if this person practices on that sunnah, Allah Ta'ala will give him the reward of 100 shaheed, 100 martyrs. That is the reward that this person will get when he starts practicing on some sunnah, which people are making a mockery of, which people are laughing at, which people are not accepting, or which sunnah has disappeared from the surface of the earth, excepting in the lives of few. Then when this person practices on it, he will get the rewards of 100 martyrs. Now that we understood to mean some sunnah like miswak or something else. However, this does not apply only to those sunnahs that we understand as sunnahs. Sunnah of eating, sunnah of drinking, sunnah of walking. Apply this same hadith even to our ibadat. Even to our ibadat, apply this same hadith. That at a time of fitna, and especially at present when there's so much of fitnas, and with this millennium celebration that's coming up, and the bashes that will take place all over, and even besides that, even in the name of Islam, there's so much of fitnas. And I explained to you, and I gave you, I think, the incident of that concert that took place in Madina Sharif, where 30,000 people the whole night sang and danced away to the music, and there were firework display. And this was not a secret thing, not happening in somebody's home. 30,000 people in the stadium in Madina Sharif, which was broadcast live by the television of Saudi Arabia throughout the world. Now when fitnas of this nature are entering even Madina Sharif and Makkah Sharif, so is it not a time of fitna? The moment we step out of this masjid, is it not fitna? The moment we go into the bazaars and marketplaces, is there not fitna? I'm not saying it is haram to go, we have to go and earn our livelihood. But I'm talking about all these other distractions and all the other attractions and all the other fitnas that catch us. So at such a time when there's so much of fitnas, this hadith is even more applicable when it comes to fasting, when it comes to namaz, when it comes to hajj, when it comes to roza. That in the month of Ramadan now, Man ahya sunnati inda fasadi ummati falahu ajru miyati shaheed. So there was a sunnat way that Rasul-e-Pak observed his fast. Understand what I'm trying to get at. These things, brothers, they don't come from kitabs. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with the barakat of the association that we have with our mashayikh and with their duas, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sometimes puts certain things into mind. That look at this hadith sharif in this light. That there was a sunnat way that Rasul-e-Pak observed the fast. Was there not a sunnat way? Or was this the sunnat way, that you fast, meaning that you just stay away from food and drink, now you can go and cast lustful glances, go and talk and chit-chat and have a good time with any woman that you want, and go and fraud and commit zina, commit adultery, speak lies, gamble, backbite, pass time with card playing because it's a long day, we don't know how to pass time, switch on the television and keep on watching the movies and say we are passing our time. Is this the sunnat way of fasting? So at such a time when there's so much of fitnas in our home, in our bazaars, in our businesses, in our marketplaces, in Makkah Sharif and Madina Sharif itself, when there are so much of fitnas that are pouring there through the satellite television and so many other ways, through the newspapers and magazines and everything that's flooding those places now. When there's so much of fitnas, at that time this hadith of Rasul-e-Pak, that the person who will bring to life my sunnah, when there is a time of fitna and fasad, that person will get the reward of 100 martyrs. Inshallah, if that person keeps that kind of fast in this month of Ramadan, in our times, in these times of fitna, Allah Ta'ala will not only give him all those other rewards that he has promised, but together with that, Allah Ta'ala will give him this reward of 100 martyrs. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the understanding of what Allah ta'ala wants to give us by means of this fast. So the days are going and they will go. We will not be able to hold them. With these holidays that are coming, we will be attracted from all sides. Some will attract us in the name of Islam. There are so many bashes that are taking place in the name of Islam. And there are so many things that are happening in the name of Islam. And we think that we are doing great Islamic work and activity, but indulging at the same time in so much of sins, even in those Islamic activities. So who are we fooling? if we really are interested in the propagation of deen itself and pure, crystal clear deen, then we have to stay away from sins and from what has been declared as haram unanimously by all the scholars. The Quran and Hadith, what it declares as haram, no person in the world can make it halal. There may be differences of opinion in other matters, but when it comes to certain things, clear cut from the Quran and Sunnah, which is haram, then we must not find excuses. So what I am saying is that these days, the last few nights that are coming, inshallah, we'll be announcing the last 10-night program, but even on this Saturday night and Sunday night, because it's a public holiday, so come and spend your time in the masjid. All you require is just 2 bed sheets and 1 pillow, that is all. We don't have to come here with the whole baggage and luggage, because we will be going back for Sehri. Just to spend the night, and what is the night? The night is just from Isha, or after Taraweeh still you'll have a 1-hour break, and then after that it is just at 2 or 3 hours, which is what we call night. How simple and easy it is to spend the nights of Ramadan in these days in South Africa. So spend it in dua, in zikr, in tilawat, in ibadat, and we are not saying that that should be your lifestyle the whole month or the whole year round. Whole year round, there are a lot of other things to do, but these last few days, whatever time is available, either read Quran Sharif, make zikr, make ibadat, and if you are tired, then you rather sleep. Sleep as much as you want to, there is no sin on that, but to stay awake, to pass time on those things that are displeasing to our Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, especially in this month of Ramadan, then we are purchasing restlessness, anxieties, worries, all these things with our own willpower. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq to fast in this month of Ramadan in the manner that is befitting this month, in the manner that is pleasing to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. We must make a lot of dua for the people of Chechnya, Bosnia, Afghanistan, and even locally where there are flood disasters has caused so much of damage and havoc, and so many people's lives have been ruined. So we must make dua for everybody that is suffering in the ummat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether they are in the ummat of ijabat or ummat of da'wat, whether they are people who have believed or they haven't believed. If they haven't believed, then to make dua, Allah give them hidayat, Allah give them Islam, Allah give them iman, and Allah make them also worthy of Jannat. And if they have believed, then ask Allah for istiqamat, and Allah Ta'ala to remove all the difficulties and problems and unite the ummah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين